Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into a really critical strategic choice that C-level execs face when building online businesses. It's this shift, right, from the old traditional monolithic systems to, well, the more modular approach of composable commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission here is to really get to the heart of the difference and understand why this whole debate is such a turning point for your company's agility, for its growth.
Yeah, and to grasp this shift, you really have to look back a bit. These traditional systems, they were dominant back in the early 2000s, maybe a bit later too. They were monolithic, fortresses, you could say. A single integrated code base handling pretty much everything. The storefront, the checkout, inventory management, all in one.
Okay.
Now, this gave you a high initial stability, and you relied on just one vendor, but development. Inherently slow. Think systems like, you know, SAP Commerce Cloud or maybe Adobe Commerce, those kinds of platforms.
That stability, though, it sounds pretty appealing, doesn't it? Especially if you're a big organization. So why did the monolith start to, well, crack? What was the pressure?
It really came down to the customer and what they started expecting.
Right. Mobile. Omnichannel.
Exactly. Seamless experiences everywhere, across mobile devices, maybe in-store kiosks, different apps. And trying to add just one new feature often meant you had to dive into that whole tangled code base.
Ah, okay. So everything's connected. One change affects everything else.
Precisely. It made any change inherently risky and definitely slow. And it kind of forced this very centralized IT control model.
Which doesn't work when you need to move fast.
Not at all. And that need for, like, continuous decentralized innovation, that's what really sparked this modular revolution. Composable commerce basically flips the script. Instead of the all-in-one, you get this modular ecosystem.
So, like, building blocks.
Kind of, yeah. You select specialized components. You might pick one really great service for search, another vendor for payments, another for catalog, and you integrate them all using standardized APIs. It's built from the ground up for speed, for adaptability.
Okay. And this is where MACH comes in, right? Those four pillars driving this change.
That's it. MACH principles.
MACH. So M is microservices.
Breaking big functions into small independent services.
A for API first.
APIs are the standard contract, how those services talk to each other.
C, cloud native.
Leveraging modern cloud infrastructure, not stuck in old data centers.
And H is headless. Explain that one. That seems really key.
Oh, headless is absolutely a game changer, especially for the customer experience side of things. It completely separates the presentation layer, the head, you know, what the customer actually sees and interacts with from the back-end business logic.
Okay, so the front and back ends are decoupled.
Totally decoupled.
Yeah.
They only communicate through APIs. And this means the business can launch and iterate on new digital experiences super fast. A mobile app, a voice interface, maybe even, I don't know, a smart fridge interface someday.
Without breaking the core system.
Exactly. Without ever having to touch or slow down that core transaction engine.
That makes a lot of sense conceptually. But okay, let's be practical. If you're a business leader and your current system, maybe it's a bit clunky, but it runs. Why take on what sounds like a massive disruptive risk? Is avoiding vendor lock-in really the main driver? What's the actual strategic pain point here?
I think the core pain point today is competitive agility. It really is. Think of it like this. Monolithic systems move like these huge cargo ships, right? Steady, but slow to turn. Composable systems are more like speedboats. Nimble, quick.
Okay.
The switch gives you immediate freedom. Freedom to integrate what people call best-of-breed solutions.
Meaning the best tool for each specific job, regardless of vendor.
Exactly. The top product for search, the best for payments, the leader in personalization, whatever you need. It breaks that reliance on a single vendor's roadmap and their release schedule. Suddenly, the business strategy dictates the tech stack, not the other way around.
But we're seeing data back this up pretty strongly now, right? It's not just a tech fad.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's solid data. McKinsey, for instance, reported that companies using these modular architectures see innovation cycles speed up by as much as 50%.
50% faster. Wow.
Yeah. And they also see digital revenue growth that's up to 30% higher. This is about future-proofing your business.
30% higher growth.
Sure.
That gets attention in the C-suite.
It definitely does. And Gartner, they estimate that by 2027, which isn't that far away, something like 60% of digital commerce companies will have made the switch to composable.
60%. So it's becoming the standard.
It suggests continuous change, continuous adaptation. It's no longer optional. It's basically table stakes for survival in the market.
Okay, the picture is pretty clear on the benefits. But we have to talk about the challenges, the cost. This agility, it doesn't just happen, right? It's not free.
No, definitely not.
Moving away from that single unified vendor.
Mm.
It requires significant planning up front. You need solid architecture consulting, probably. And you need real in-house expertise to manage multiple vendors, multiple APIs, ensuring security across all those connections.
That's a crucial point. If you don't have a clear blueprint, that flexibility you wanted, it can quickly spiral into just a complex mess of services, a sort of Frankenstein architecture.
Right, managing the complexity is the hidden cost.
It demands a different kind of IT leadership, a different organizational mindset, really.
So tying this all together then, what's the bottom line?
Well, the future is clearly heading towards composable. That seems undeniable. But the adoption has to be deliberate. It has to be strategic. The successful businesses we see making this shift, they're adopting MACH principles, yes, but they focus first on defining their strategy, their organizational structure. Then they apply the technology to fit those needs. They don't let the limitations of an old system dictate what they can or can't achieve.
That idea, technology serving strategy, not dictating it, that feels like the core shift. It's about regaining control, about speed. So here's a final thought for you, our listener. If innovation could become part of your daily rhythm, not some huge long-term project, what existing processes right now in your own organization might be getting slowed down by a hidden monolith? Could be tech, could be process. Something to think about as you plan your path forward.